The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon to you, Peter. Happy Friday. Happy Friday to you.
That would have been fabulous if that was in some sort of melody.
That was a melody. That was like the happy birthday one, but it's not your birthday. It's just happy Friday.
I'm glad you explained it to me because I wasn't sure what melody that was. You look fabulous today. Happy Friday. I'm so excited to be back with you.
I am as well. And I'm also happy for our lovely audience, as always, because they are so loyal. They turn up, they send us their beautiful stories, which highly entertain me all weekend. So I'm very happy today.
Very happy. I'm very happy.
And very happy.
I'm happy about. We've got on a very exciting show today, haven't we?
Yes.
Why is it so exciting, Cece?
Because we have a new sponsor, which I'm going to sing another theme tune to. It's Happn. Happn, the app that I regularly use. Regularly.
Yes.
How do you feel about Happn?
I've worked with Happn before, and they are fabulous. So, yes, we are sponsored by Happn, which is a dating app all about fate.
Yeah, that lovely word. Fate, luck. I mean, it's in that category, isn't it?
Exactly. So Happn was created to bring back real life into online dating, helping you to find the people that you've crossed paths with. So when you're walking down the street, you might walk past someone and think, gosh, she's lovely. If they're on Happn, it tells you.
I love the ch-ch about it. So you can check them on a map. So the best part about this is you can actually check where your date was, not in a creepy way, but you can find out where they might be hanging around. So then you can just hang around on the street and hope that they pass you again.
Fabulous. So it's aimed at people that are not cynical about online dating, because a lot of people are cynical about online dating, but it's preserving the magic of love.
Do you know what? I've never been cynical about it. I think it's a brilliant way to meet people. Like, why wouldn't you? If you, especially during this last year, how else are you meant to meet people?
Exactly. And that's the way things are going now. That's how it is. Long gone are the days where you just walk into a bar and hope that that person likes. Now you can actually find them online. You can speak to them online. You can get all the awkward small talk out before you actually see someone.
Yes.
Which is really important, because then you work out whether or not you're going to have a good date. So I actually think online dating is great, and Happn is the best one for it.
Tick, 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 tick. Tick, Pete, what are we talking about this week? What is our subject?
Our topic this week is home life balance.
I really like this because I think it can go either way.
And what ways could they be?
Well, I'm gonna tell you the ways that it's going to be after you're going to tell me about your little sex book for this week.
Yes, we've got the home life balance as a topic, but we've also got a guest this week.
Oh, we have got a guest, yeah.
We have, as we do every week, Cece. I know this may be your first time on the show. But this week, we've got Cheryl Hull.
Cheryl Hull.
Star of RuPaul's Drag Race UK. We've also got a brand new game called
Did It Happn?
Yay! Which is all about fake or fate. We've also got listeners' questions and stories, as always, which is one of our favourite parts of the show. We love that, don't we?
Get it in there. Get them in.
But before we do that,
education, it's always.
It's education time, or as we have now called it, it's edutainment.
Oh, this is just fabulous. This is so many new things this week.
So this week, for Pete's dating sex book, which is every week, I'll give you a new term for you to learn, love, and listen to.
Definitely love.
Yes. This week's one is postponed.
Okay, let's think about this. So postponed. So is it like an erection that's delayed?
Oh, I see what you've done there. But no.
Oh.
Postponed, which has happened to me many a time before. It's when you are running late. Because of an unexpected sexual encounter.
Oh, this is quite cool.
So unfortunately, I'm late. Sorry, why are you late? Because I was fucking.
Nice.
Then
I like
it means
this.
That, sorry, I've been postponed.
So if I ever turn up on a date and someone says to me, I'm so sorry I'm late, I was postponed, I now know exactly what they mean.
Exactly. So next time we go out for a drink or something, CC, and I say to you, oh, God, I'm so sorry I was late. And you go, why? I can go, I was postponed. And you know that means that I was busy.
Busy. I love the action.
So that's it, postponed, which I think is a really good one. I like
that one. Yeah, do you know what? That's more on the education side. I don't feel repulsed this week. I just feel educated.
Excellent. And do you know what? That's a plus for me, because most of the time when women speak to me, they are repulsed. Have you ever postponed, Cece?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So you've been late to... situations because you were getting the dick.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes.
I don't think there's anything... One of the is, I mean, you know, I don't like standing people up or leaving them hanging, but sometimes this you run away with the situation, don't you?
It kind of, in my head, it's when, let's say you're getting ready and you're with your partner or whatever else, and then, you know, for example, if you're getting ready for a night out and you look fucking beautiful, and then you've got your partner who goes, "God, you look unbelievable, let's have a quick go." That's basically... And then you're a bit late because, oh, God, sorry, if you're meeting the girls, sorry, girls, I'm a bit late, but Darren...
Did his thing. Darren, but that also is a very interesting one, because when you've done all your hair and makeup, you have to kind of... maneuver the sex that you're having, because you don't want to redo your makeup.
Well, I always think postpone, it's just good to go doggy.
Yes, because let's just put it out there. Let's just go for, yeah, exactly.
Just you know, that quick sort of bent over the sofa.
Right, dating news?
Should we go on to the dating news? The first one is really, really good and actually coincides with our new sponsor, Happn, because it's all about fate.
Aww.
Tell us about it. It's quite cute.
It is cute. So... I've done this as well. I've written letters about future partners that haven't turned up yet. So wife finds a letter that she wrote to her future husband as a kid and spots a spooky coincidence. A woman has gone viral on social media after sharing the one thing about her relationship that sounds fake, but is 100% real. She discovered a spooky but amazing link between her new husband and a letter she wrote as a teenager. She says, "So when I was about 15 or 16, some girls in my church were writing future love letters to their husbands. And I was like, oh, that's such a cool idea. I'm going to do that too." Pete, have you ever done that? Written a letter to your future wife?
No. We didn't do that at my church.
So I started writing love letters to my future husband, but I only wrote two. And then I forgot about it and stuck them in a notebook, never looking at them again. When she married her husband in 2017, she remembered them and gave them to him at the wedding. On one of the letters, she had written an obscure Bible verse. She then realized that he had the name of the exact same Bible verse tattooed on his arm and had gotten the tattoo the same year that she wrote those letters. Wow. That is spooky.
Goosebumps for me.
Wow.
That is quite spooky, isn't it?
Oh, I like that. I really, really like it.
That is fate, 100%. Yeah. Of course it is. That's what. Has anything like that ever happened to you, babe?
I've definitely tied things in, but I don't know if I've tried to create the, you know, when you're like, were you at, you know, the shop in July in one year? You know, and then you're like, I was at that show as well.
You try to create fate.
Yeah.
Not actually experience real.
Yeah. I like the fairy tale. I like, you know, I'm like, oh, I like thinking about it and talking about it when it actually hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay.
Do you ever do things?
Slightly pathetic.
It's just what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, sorry, babe. I mean, I love you, but...
No, it's fine. It's fine.
No, I don't think I've ever...
Hang on a minute. Let's just rewind. I'm the pathetic one. Didn't you get a girl's name tattooed on your arm?
Which time?
Exactly.
Yes, I have done things.
Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
Next story, what I'm going to give you is something I'm really excited about because I've had sleepless nights about this.
Oh, okay. Go on then. Okay. I don't even know what the story is, so entertain me.
It's an update on the Ukrainian couple who chained themselves together. Do you remember?
Yes. Okay.
So the couple chained themselves together because they were on the verge of breaking up. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what to do, so they thought, I'll tell you what, instead of breaking up, we'll chain ourselves together and see if that brings us closer together. Why wouldn't you? What a great idea. So the couple would chain themselves together until they got married in a bid to save their relationship after constant arguments. They spent 123 days together. What do you think? How do you think it went?
I can only imagine a disaster. But go on, hopefully it's something good.
Why would you think it's a disaster, Cece?
I just can't...
I mean, they were arguing all the time and on the verge of breaking up, so they thought chaining themselves together would bring them closer together. Why do you think that would be a disaster?
I just think after 123 days, do you know what? Let's leave it. Well, I'm going to preserve my thoughts. Go on, carry it. You tell me.
Well, they split up. So they admitted after 123 days together, their efforts to repair their on-off relationship didn't work. They said the lack of privacy had cost them their relationship and their wedding plans. As their chain was finally severed, the pair said they couldn't wait to go their separate ways. Victoria said, I want to live my own independent life and grow as an independent person. And then her partner shouted hooray as she was cut free.
Wow. Can you imagine the hate you would have built up for that person, though? It would have gone, you know how love and hate are very, very similar, and they're so close.
It's a fine line.
Fine line. And I definitely know the people that I love hate you, and I can only imagine.
Am I one of those people?
No, I don't hate you. I definitely don't hate you. All the love.
All the love.
And I can only imagine being, but actually, hang on, let's just refresh. If I was tied up to you for 123 days, I'd fucking hate you.
Cece, fuck off. You would love it.
I would fucking hate you.
Cece, what are you talking about?
If we were chained together for
123 days, we would have the best time.
We would, do you know, actually, we'd probably figure out a way to like make it work. I'd be like, right, I'm going to not look. You do what you need to do. Oh, God. Oh, that'd be gross. It would be
CC,
so gross.
I'd be like, what's that buzzing again? You're not doing it again, are you? God's sake, CC, for fucking hell. You are rampant, woman.
My God.
Imagine
all the stuff you'd know about that person, though. You would know them. Like, intimacy, there needs to be another word for intimacy.
We would literally, yeah, you would know someone inside out. I think at some point we should chain ourselves together, CC.
Okay, can we do it for like 23 minutes rather than 123 days?
What about if we did? What about this is a plan for maybe the future?
Oh, God.
I think maybe we should do. Maybe we could do this like a brand new show and do something for charity. We chain each together 24 hours.
Oh, my God. Pete, I don't know if I want to know all that about you, though. Like, because I really adore you, and I don't know if I just, you know, when you just see someone, I'm a nervous peer. I couldn't pee in front of you. That would be a problem.
As you full well know, I'd be absolutely fine with that. I would be so, yeah, private joke. I would be so excited to be attached to you for 24 hours, Cece. I think it would be a lot closer together. I already feel like we are as close as close can be.
How would we shower?
Together in bathing suits.
Do you know what? Fuck it, let's do it. I'm up for it. Let's fucking do it.
We won't eat or drink so that we don't have to piss or do other things. So okay. That's a lie. We'd be off our tits on tequila.
This would be so bad, but so good. Okay.
It would be so fun, wouldn't it?
Done. That's what we're going to do, guys. We just put it out there. So
we're
going to
do it. We're going to do
23 hours.
You can fuck off. You think I'm doing any yoga, though?
Oh, no. You've fully got to live my life. No, you're fully living my life.
No. You've got to live my life.
Half and half.
All right. Half and half. We'll do 12 hours of your life doing the downward dog.
Okay. Well, just do yours first.
That didn't sound great. Chain together.
Should we move on?
Should we move on? The next story is a woman, and we love these stories. It seems to be a different one every week, similar to this. But a woman exposes her cheating ex with an engraved necklace to open in front of his family. So,
God.
There's an awful lot. Whenever we do the weird and wonderful dating news, there's always a lot about how people find people cheating or how people reveal that someone's cheated and all that sort of stuff. And this is just another one of them. So a jeweler has revealed on TikTok the weirdest request that she ever had. A girlfriend wanted revenge on her cheating ex, so decided to have a necklace engraved with the names of the women her boyfriend had cheated on her with as an anniversary gift. She had it engraved with three names on the back: Ashley, Genesis, and Karen, and the couple's anniversary date on the front. She added to the order, he cheated with three girls, so here's the anniversary gift. He doesn't know that I'm getting him. She also explained how she planned to give it to him in front of his family so that he could read it out loud.
Oh, God. Look, I'm, you know, cheating is wrong, but fucking hell, if you're that bitter, go and get some bloody anger management or something. Like, that's just whether she exposes him in front of the family or not, he's still going to feel like an arsehole at some point in his life. Karma's such a little bitch in all the right ways. Karma will come and get his ass anyway. She should just leave that up to fate.
Nothing worse than a woman scorned.
I don't think I've ever gone to that point of like, because I always think, do you know what, your time will absolutely come, darling, and I just think I'm gonna leave it there, because it says more about the person. I think when you're angry, like ripping up someone's clothes, cutting them, setting them on fire and sending hate messages out the window, you know, I've just never done that. So I think that says more about the person, maybe, you know, working on yourself.
I agree. Listen, bad things happen sometimes, but you have to let karma take over. I fully believe in karma, fully.
Do you? I love the hand gesture with it as well. I fully believe in karma.
Come on, Cece. I don't even have to say
I know anymore. I'm ready for it. I'm here. Look at me. And a little tap on the microphone as well. Yeah.
Ready? Namaste.
Namaste to karma, because karma is beautiful. It really is.
100% it is beautiful. So that is our weird and wonderful dating news. So you are listening to The Dating Show on FUBAR Radio, and we are sponsored now by
Happen.
So still to come, we've got our guest Cheryl Hole.
Cheryl Hole. I like her, actually. I watch her. I watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Yes, I do.
Well,
I like
apparently, she has actually filmed on TOWIE.
Oh, really?
I don't think I was there, or maybe I was late that day, or I don't. So I'm not sure that I've met her. But yes,
were you postponing on that day? Is that why you were late?
I may have been postponed. Well, I wasn't postponed, but maybe I was postponing.
Babes, there's no judgment on this show. You know, it's a circle of trust. You do what you need to do.
Each to their own. Each to their own. So let's start with our topic for the week, then, shall we?
Yes.
Which is the work-home-life balance.
Would you say you've got a good work-home-life balance?
I would say that I have a no.
Okay.
Because I don't have much of a home.
Oh, that makes me feel sad when you say that. I mean, you're sat in your home right now, but yes.
But what I mean by that is I don't mean that I live on the streets. I mean that I work all the time. I work a lot. And I don't have a balance because I don't feel like I need a balance because I don't really, other than my dogs, I don't have anything to be home for. I don't have anyone to be home for, and I don't feel like I need to balance it.
That's so sad, honestly. That, like, I know you don't mean it in that way, but it does sound like I do feel, I want to give you a hug. I'm giving you a virtual hug. Not that you need it, but I'm just going to give you one anyway. Just because...
Thank you, babe. But did you know what I mean by that, though? It's So I don't really feel like I do have a balance because I think the equilibrium of my home life balance is not good.
So
because I think I work too much. I work too much. And I think that would have to change if I met someone.
Have you ever been accused of that in relationships? Has anyone ever said, God, Pete, you're always at work, or you never switch off, or...
Not really, because I haven't really had a lot of relationships. I've been told that I work too much, a number of times.
Yeah.
But I'm a bit of a workaholic. I always have been. I can't not be busy, and I can't not be doing stuff. It's almost one of the things.
Just who you are.
Yeah, it's just who I am. I've always been like that. I've never been out of work since I was 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always just been work. And I think that's just because it keeps me busy.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm a little bit similar to you. I can't help but work. So I do find it, I think if you're not in a 9-to-5 job, when I was in a 9-to-5, I knew, you know, I'd start work at 9, I'd finish at 5, and then I'd have a choice to go home, or see if I was with somebody, see the partner, or, you know, whatever it is. So it's a bit easier. But when you're in jobs like ours, where they're like ad hoc all over the place, that balance... You have to create your own structure, right? So in a relationship, I think I've learned from my exes, because my exes have been brilliant at it. I'm finally going to give them the compliment. They've been, because they've had 9-to-5s. So they're at 6 o'clock, they switch off. They don't go to their emails. And I've always commended them for it because my love language is quality time. So I like to have and spend quality time with my partner. And I can't think of anything worse than them being on their phones. So I'm now really conscious of it too. So because my life isn't 9-to-5, I will say, I just need half an hour to reply to my emails and then I'm back to you. And I think the communication in that is really important, letting them know, rather than trying to multitask going, yeah, I'm with you, I'm present with you, and you're not present because you're on your bloody phone.
Yeah.
And that, you know, those moments are missed, and especially when you're in a long-term relationship, it's easy to forget. You know, to forget that that's important. But what do we all want? We just want attention, you know, that person's presence, right? A to B conversation.
But I think you said it, there's quality time rather than just time. So I think you make a really good point there. If you have a job that is 9 to 5, or you have a job that is set working hours, whether it be nights or whether it be day, whatever it may be, I think it's probably easier to work your time out than it is if you do work ad hoc. Because, you know, having set working hours probably does make a difference, because then, you know, that's my work time and then that is my time. Yeah. Whereas if we're kind of, we don't have that, and a lot of people in all sorts of different jobs don't have that, and they're, you know, being self-employed or whatever it may be, it's trying to work that out and not constantly being working or constantly, I mean, I could be out on a night out and then get a job come through and then have to read through what I'm doing the next day or mm-hmm. whatever else at like 11 o'clock at night or mm-hmm. whatever it may be, and then whoever you're with, but you kind of need to get that done because that's what my job is.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And it can 100%. Be quite bad because it creates stress in a relationship, because if people don't feel like they're getting the attention, they don't feel too good about themselves, it's bad for your health. Mm-hmm. If you're constantly working, you constantly, you know, you never get any time to kind of relax, and hence why I'm not very well at the minute.
It is true. And I think also with our jobs is it does involve a lot of socializing. So an event that you attend, you know,
is
screening
work.
Is work. So then you've got to decide, do I invite my partner out on this cinema screening and class it as a date night? Or am I informing them this is work and I might not be able to give you the attention that you require or need? So again, communication, like if you know where you stand, then you have a choice, right? As a partner, if someone was always busy, I'd want to know, is this an event work or is this us time?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, as you know, and I'm sure a lot of people are saying, and this sounds wankerish, but I don't run my own diary.
Yeah.
So I have other people that run my diary. So they just put in stuff in the diary. So if I want or have something I need to do, like let's say it's a friend's birthday or whatever else, I have to put that in my diary so that I don't get booked for work.
Yeah.
If I ever forget to put that in a diary or forget something or whatever else, and then work goes in, I will go and do whatever's
been. You have to do, yeah.
Because it's my fault that I didn't say that I needed that time. Mm-hmm. So when that's the case, it's like you have to plot your own personal time. And if you don't do it, you ain't having it.
Yep.
Does that make
Absolutely.
Sense? Which makes things very difficult. But we've got someone very special to talk about this with.
Yeah. So Cheryl Hall.
Introductions, yes.
She is fabulous. So she's a drag queen who is known for being one of the contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race, the UK season. Her act is based on the former Girls Aloud singer Cheryl Cole, if that wasn't obvious. So let's get her on and have a little chat about how she has or does or doesn't have a work-life balance. Oh, look at...
Oh, good morning.
Wow.
Well, fuck me, I wish I'd brushed my hair.
I know.
Hey, you've got to represent for the Essex Divas. Why have you not brushed your hair this morning?
It's my fault. It's my fault. I can't compete with that, though. Look at that. You look like a fucking lion.
How
Lions
long?
And tigers are bears, oh my.
How long did this amazing everything, hair, makeup take?
See, just see, woke up like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Flawless, in the words of Beyonce. No, I am... very quick face for me. I think I did it in about 40 minutes. You know, early morning drag isn't my friend, so she slaps it on and gets down to business.
Cheryl, you were on tap. Was I there?
You came in as I was leaving.
Oh, right.
I de-dragged, so you probably wouldn't even clock the spook.
Oh, you de-dragged, so I was walking. Yeah, because I remember I was late that day. I was working, doing something else, so I came late. So did you have fun on TOWIE?
You know what? I had an absolute blast. It was quite a surreal experience going from watching TOWIE back in the early days when I was at like college and stuff. And then suddenly I'm on it. And like all my family found it so jarring. Like I've been on Drag Race. I've been on other TV shows. I've been on Celebs on the Farm. But for me to be on TOWIE, that's the one they lost their minds over.
Well, I'm glad one of us enjoys being on TOWIE.
I know. Oh.
Right, so we have got are we going to start with a quick fire question?
Let's do some of the quick fire questions. Yeah, so
we're just going to warm you up a little bit. Yeah, we're just going to tickle you a little bit.
So just straight
I love a tickle.
Who doesn't?
Date night in or out?
Do you know what, after all these 15,000 lockdowns we've had, I'm a recluse, so I'm like date night in. get me a nice takeaway.
Okay. Kissing or cuddling?
Kissing.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Oh, I'm a giver in some aspects, but I love to receive.
I love that answer.
Take that however you like.
Dream job or dream partner?
What about a dream partner that is part of your job? I'm just bending all the rules.
No, I love it. Perfect.
Okay. Chat up line or straight to the fucking point?
Straight to the fucking point. No beating around the bush here.
There we go.
Big spoon or little spoon?
Oh, equal spoon for me.
And single or taken?
Oh, she's a taken diva.
Taken diva.
Love that.
Right, so our topic this week is the home work life balance, something that I have absolutely none of. Cece, what about you?
Yeah, at the moment it's not very good, no. So we're hoping you're going to give us some advice this week and tell us what your work life balance, if you've got a good balance, basically.
You've got your partner kind of works with you, does he not do your, it basically runs your life, doesn't he?
So he is the middleman between my management and me. So he's what we call my touring manager. So he travels with me everywhere. He organises everything. He liaises with promoters when we're out doing shows. So he really does get the shit done. So I'm very thankful for that because I'm a person, and I've been working on it. I'm a person that feels like I have to do everything. And if I'm not doing it, people are going to judge me that I'm not. Like, oh, she's just sitting back and letting everybody else do the work for her. I'm like, no, I'm a grafter. I'm a worker. I have been from the get-go. So I'm slowly realising that you are one person and you can't do 15 people's jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So your partner, sort of as a tour manager and everything else, does he kind of run your diary, tells you where you've got to be, what you've got to do, all that sort of stuff? So obviously your work life then, if he goes everywhere with you, is kind of entwined. You both kind of are doing the same work at the same time. So where do you find time? Because obviously you're really busy after Drag Race and everything else. You're all over the shop, no?
Oh, my God. So when the season first took off, it went from 0 to 100. And we were like, oh, my God. And at the time, he was working in Dr. Martin's as a manager. And we were just like trying to find the right moment for him to hand in his resignation. Because we knew it was going to happen eventually.
To hang up his boots, yeah?
Yeah, to hang up his 14, 16 boots. And honestly, like, oh shit, it's going to happen very quickly. So he quit in December and joined us on the season one tour. And then we did 3 months of traveling, touring, working, and then lockdown one hit. And then we were just like, fuck, what do we do? And I think it took about a week for everybody to figure out this at-home life, like digital shows and branding, work from home. And then lo and behold, we were working non-stop throughout lockdown one. So it was trying to find those moments to have a switch off. But when your work is in your house, it's hard to. When emails are coming in from the US at 10 p.m. but that's 3 p.m. for them, they're like, well, I better reply. And you go, stop, switch off.
How did you do that? Did you have a conversation with each other then? Did you say, right, we need to figure this out? I mean, was there arguments? How did you have that sort of conversation where you needed to separate some type of work, partner, everything? How did you do that?
I think it's not about switching off the work, because the work's never going to stop. It's more a fact of putting time aside to go, we're going to have this lovely dinner and then we're going to watch this movie tonight. Or we're going to go out, we're going to mooch around the shops for a couple of hours, and then we're going to come back. Like, it's just finding those times. And like a little email here and there, it's all good. But you have to realise that you need to have that quality time. Otherwise, your life is just work.
How long have you been with your partner?
So we met 5 years ago next month, but we didn't get together until a year and a half later.
Oh.
So he asked me out on a date the first night we met, and I was like, love him, absolutely adore him, but I was not in the right mindset to be in dating relationship at the time. So,
so you fucking pied him?
I pied him. Yes, I did, Pete. Thank you very much. Hayden's going to love that.
Sorry.
But I feel like we've been together for 5 years because we were besties. We did everything together. We were working together at the time in clubs and bars and stuff.
Oh, so
and we'd see each other at least.
It wasn't like he asked you out and then you didn't see each other for a year and a half. He asked you out, you said no, but you spent all that time together anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we knew each other inside and out, back, front, round and round. So when we finally got together on one drunken night and I just gave him a smoochy smooch, it all happened so quickly because all we needed to find out about each other was the intimate details.
So was it like getting with your best friend?
I don't feel like we were like, you know, when sometimes you're like, oh, I could never go with them because they're like your bestie. I think because we had that thing from the jump and I just was not in the right mindset. So I knew there was interest there. I just never knew it was actually ever going to happen for me because I've always been a very guarded, closed off person. Like he's my first official relationship.
It's quite a cute story that though. I like that story.
Yeah,
nice. Well done,
Taylor Swift. Love story.
I feel like that's the hard part is getting, you know, you meet, you go on a date, and then there's suddenly like, right, now you've got to be friends, partners, everything else has got to fall into place, and then figure out your future. And there's so much on it. Whereas that is lovely that you became friends first. You figured out, you know, so that you knew all the things you needed to know. Do you think if you didn't have that friendship before you got together, then it would have been maybe more challenging to figure out this work-life balance, because obviously you know each other, you know how he knows how hard you work, you know how hard he works. So do you think that would have been a bit more of a challenge to be understood, like I'm always busy?
Yeah, for sure. Like when you're dating someone, sometimes people are really, really needy and they're like, why are you not making time for me? Whereas he understood I had to do the grafting in the early days.
Yeah.
Like before Drag Race and before I really got quote unquote established, I was in the clubs and the bars 6-7 nights a week, like just turning up to events just to be like, hi, I'm here, because then people talk and then people realize what you do, they see what you're doing and you're here and you're making the effort, so they're like, oh, this queen's here, we're gonna book her for this event, oh, did you see her performing at that, we should book her for that. So because I did that, if I was in a relationship, it would have been a completely different story because I would have had to allot time aside for the relationship. Yeah. So I'm a firm believer in right time, right place.
Yeah.
Some people kind of look at people working together and being in a relationship as quite, you know, a bad thing. You spend so much time together and all that sort of stuff. But actually the positive side of that is he knows how busy you are and he knows exactly what you do for work and what it takes. Mm-hmm. When you're with someone who has no idea about your job or your industry and you say, look, I can't, I'm really busy, I'm doing whatever, they don't understand. I've dated people before that have got completely different industries to me. And like, she's always been like, well, but why have you got to do that? Why have you got to do it? I don't get why you're always doing this, or why have you got to work that night, or why have you got to do it? And if they don't understand, it's probably harder because it's almost like they take it personally.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
if
for
they
sure.
They understand and they're in the same industry or they're doing the same thing as you. They know what goes into whatever your job is. And I suppose that's the same for anyone that might be working 9-to-5. They all know 9-to-5, that's when we do it, blah, 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 blah. But if you've got completely different jobs, it's quite hard to work out what the other one does sometimes. Do you think, Cece, have you dated people similar to that?
I mean, even on being on the other side of it, so dating someone who's 9-to-5, it's still the same questions because they're locked in from 9-to-5. Whereas I can send a text message at 10 a.m, 11 a.m, or 12 a.m. You know, I might be at home going, "How are you, babe?" And I don't get a message for 4 hours or six, whatever, a day, because they are.
And then you send repeated question marks, don't you? Because you're really needy.
No, I turn up at their work. That's how I. No, I'm joking. But there's, you know, I've got to understand 9-to-5 is their allocated time, whereas mine is unfortunately, like we've all just said. You know, you get an email at 11 o'clock at night and you've got to respond, or you're working till 2 a.m. or you're going to an event and people don't understand, or ex-partners don't understand that events are work. They're not just a piss up.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you find that after, say, you've been on stage and obviously because your partner works with you, is there like, do you have to have like an almost cooling down period where you do switch off, or you sort of, okay, I've done my bit on stage, I just need 15 minutes before, or do you end up talking to your partner as the hyped up person, or do you know, where do you, when does it change and you're like, okay, I've fucking meditated or whatever you do, you know.
It's quite funny, Cece, you say that, because we've had many a conversation where he's like, stop it, I need Luke here.
Wow. Like,
because sometimes I'm like, tunnel vision, work. And like, you have to be on.
Yeah.
Like, you can't let your guard down. Yeah, exactly. Like, at DragCon, I was meeting thousands of people a day. I was sitting there on from 9 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. And then it's so funny. You turn a corner, you realize that people aren't there, and you instantly drop it, and you're like, yeah. you don't have to be on. And sometimes, like, I remember I did a half an hour set on stage at this gig the other week. Came off, walked past everybody, thanked everybody, blah, 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 got into my like dressing room, and I went, and I sat in a chair like this for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, are you okay? And I was like, yes, I just need to breathe. So like, yeah. It's so funny how you just go from, blah, 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 and then someone knocks on the door, and they're like, and then you go, hello.
Yeah, turn back up again. Yeah.
So it is now time for our brand new game.
Oh, I can't wait.
It is called Did It Happen? As we are now sponsored by Happn, we have got a brand new game, which is all surrounding fate and fake. We're going to get two stories from our guests, and we have to decide whether they're fate or fake. So one is going to be truth, one is going to be a liar. And this is all because of Happn. And what Happn mean?
So well articulated, because fake really makes me just, I almost like can't get my words out. So go you, Pete.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So let's play Did It Happen, sponsored by Happn.
Right. Okay. I've got a good poker face. So are you ready for story number one?
Oh, let's do it.
Okay. Story number one. I was talking to this guy, and he was at the same university as me. I was like, da 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 da, like, very friendly. I'm not sure if I was being naive. I was on my way from central London back to north London, where my university was. And he was living in King's Cross. And he said, oh, why don't you stop by and we'll just grab a quick drink just to catch up, because I hadn't seen him in a week. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, let's stop by. So I'm sitting in this pub. He orders a bottle of wine. I'm like, oh, I thought we were just having a drink. And then we're just sitting there chatting. And then he gets a little closer, and then he starts putting his hands on the knee. And I'm like, oh my God, am I actually on a date? And I was sitting here, and I went, oh my God, I'm having a date with somebody that I didn't even realize I was having a date. And then he orders another bottle of wine. And I'm like, oh fuck, I'm going to be pissed in a second. And then he's like, oh no, you've missed the last train. What are you going to do? And like, I was broke at the time, so I couldn't afford an Uber. So I went back to his, and obviously drunk me, we do the deed. And I'm like, oh crap. So I went on a date and slept with this guy. Didn't even realize I was on this date.
Okay. I like this.
Yeah.
Story one, slept with a guy that you didn't even know you was on a date with. Love that. Story number two.
Like, I've not been on many dates, but clearly they don't seem to go well.
Probably because you don't fucking realise you're on one.
Exactly. Little old naive me thinking that we're just friends, like friend zoning everybody left, right, and centre. Right, story number two. I was on another date, and this person, really sweet, really cute, and he was like, I don't want to go on a cliche date to like Wagamamas or anything like that. So I want to do a little walk through the forest. And I was like, right. So he picks me up. We drive to this forest park, literally 10 minutes down the road from us. And we're walking around, and I'm like, I haven't seen any like buildings or like cafes. You know, normally you've got like one in the hub of everywhere. And I'm going, I really need a poo. And I'm like, and I'm not going to lie, I had a large coffee and a pan of chocolate from Starbucks. And I'm walking around, and I'm walking around, and I'm like, it's going to happen. And it was very much bridesmaids. She's really doing it. She's really shitting in the woods. And I just had to let it all out. And luckily, smell. But you were on I shat myself, Pete.
And you shit in a forest on a date.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that I've heard that.
You,
okay.
You definitely heard right.
Fabulous.
You need a clarification.
Fuck.
I need clarification of your shit. Yes, thank you. So
keep it classy.
As always, are you from Essex?
Yeah, born and bred, Chelmsford. Yeah.
No, well, that makes sense then.
Sorry.
Story one, fucked on a date you didn't know you were on. Story two, shit in a forest on
brilliant.
A date. Cece, which one is true and which one is a lie?
I'm going to go with first one is true, fate, and second one is false, fake.
I think the second one is true and the first one is a lie. In fact, do you have any questions, actually, before we make these decisions? Do you have any questions?
No, the only reason I think the first one's true is because I've been on an accidental date as well. Actually, in a relationship.
On a fucking accidental date?
It happens. It happens.
It does happen.
In a relationship, I went on a date with someone else.
What? How did... I'm sorry.
That's another story. No, I'll tell you about that. But so, yeah, I reckon the first one's true.
Okay, but how... Sorry, can someone explain to me how you go on an accidental date?
Didn't realise it was a date. And I was like, shit, I think I'm on a date with someone.
What, you didn't realise that the geezer fancied you?
Well, I did when... You know when you sit... When you think you're in a meeting, you sit opposite each other. So I sat at the table opposite. And then when I came back to the table, he was sat next to me. And I was like, see where this is going.
Do you not... I always feel like I know if someone fancies me. So then I wouldn't, if I...
Yeah, but you can't presume, can you? Every single person fancies you. And I was like, no. This is a business meeting.
Just because every girl in the UK likes a pirate.
No. But what I mean by that is if I had an idea that someone, and I wasn't interested, I wouldn't want to spend time with that person alone. Do you know what I mean?
I didn't know that this person had fancied me though until I got there, and then the chair had moved, and then I was like, shit, we're on a date. And then he asked me to like push his buttons, turn his Harley Davidson on, and I was like, this has gone too far.
Oh, he had a Harley. Well, I like it. Yeah.
Well, no, not when someone asked you to push the button, it's the wrong button. So it didn't turn the bike on, and I was like, your bike's not turning on. He went, oh, I've pushed the wrong button. Anyway, so completely taken over your two false. Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Right.
I know.
We'll discuss this another time.
It happens. Shit happens.
Literally, shit happens in the woods. If you're Cheryl. I reckon the shit in the woods is true and the other one is false. So tell us.
Did it happen?
The accidental date was the true story. Do you really think I'd shit myself? I'm a classy diva.
I don't know, but I'm actually really happy that that one's not true, because I would just look at you. Yeah, I would look at you completely different. And also, I'd want to know where the forest was, just in case I fucking happened to walk across it.
It was Highlands Park. Lovely. It was fictional, but it was Highlands Park.
Okay, well, Cheryl, thank you so much. If someone finds a human shit in Highlands Park, all right,
then we know.
Yeah.
Well, let's rewind to V Festival, yeah?
Oh, fucking hell.
God.
Listen, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure. We loved having you on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. You've been great. Really, really fun to talk to. Thanks so much. And thank you for the effort you've made. My God.
Cheryl, will you now go and take all of that makeup off?
Oh, I'm on the clock for another hour. So
oh, so you've still got work.
More jobs, then take it off.
Okay.
Nice.
Words of Rihanna. Cool. Work.
Love that. All right. Well, goodbye, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cheryl. Take care.
See you on Towie soon again.
Your fingers crossed.
Bye, guys. See you later.
Bye.
Thank you, Cheryl. That was amazing. That was our brand new game, Did It Happen? This is the dating show, and we are sponsored by Happn. Pete, favourite part of the show. Do you know what? The whole show is my favourite part, but this is one of my favourite parts of my favourite show, which is our show, because we're on it. It is... Not to blow my own trumpet or anything, but I do love doing this. I love our show. I'm not going to lie.
Cece, do you know what my favourite part of this whole thing is?
Oh, I love it. When you do that calm voice, it gets me excited. Go on, tell me.
It's you.
Oh.
You're my favourite part of this show. You're my favourite part of every week. And you are my favourite person.
You make my heart pulse.
You also make my heart pulse. You stimulate my mind.
Let's leave
it at that. So we are now going to go on to listeners' questions and stories.
Let's do this. So Pete, are you going to read out our first question?
Yes, we have an email. So none of these are advice this week. So evidently you've been listening. You've listened to some of our advice over previous weeks. I thought, fuck that. I'm not going to ask for advice. I'm just going to tell them stories. So first up, I have an email here from Kirsty. Okay. Are you ready for this?
Ready.
Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Open your lug holes. Ears.
All right, I had to think about what that was then.
Okay, worried for a minute.
Lug holes. Well, I was like, should I know this?
Lug holes. Right, here we go. Well, where do I start? This guy and I began talking via Tinder. We apparently shared similar interests and beliefs. He was well-travelled and he looked 100% my type on paper. He portrayed himself as an environmentalist and spiritual healer. Safe to say, I was very excited for this date, especially after a string of dates that didn't quite tickle my fancy. We agreed to meet and booked my favourite vegan restaurant. It forecasted a lot of rain, and with everything outdoors due to COVID, he offered to cook at his instead. Mm. I agreed. Believing we'd spoken a lot about my plant-based lifestyle and dairy allergy, I didn't think I needed to remind him, as I didn't want to seem condescending. When I arrived, I instantly got hit with some shocking BO. Not to mention, he looked nothing like his business. Pretty devastated. It had already raised a lot of red flags. He made such an effort with laying out the table and cooking dinner, so I thought, maybe we can make a friendship out of it. How wrong was I? For starters, he was so baked, I couldn't even get a conversation out of him. He was incoherent. By baked, stunned, that is. CC.
Oh, right, okay.
He was incoherent. We would begin a conversation, and a few seconds later, he'd say, what was I saying? That was me being stunned.
Okay, good.
I'm not stunned for anyone listening. Then we sat down to dinner, and in front of me lay a meat dish. I had originally sat there quietly feeling pretty guilty for not reminding him, so politely asked, is this vegan? He replied, yes. And so I said, are you sure? He then replied, you caught me. I didn't think you'd notice. Shredded chicken cooked in tons of butter. I believe what his bio was supposed to read was raging stoner in need of spiritual healing. Safe to say, I'm glad I didn't tuck in and die in his home. I definitely won't be seeing him again. Think I'm done with online dating at this point.
Oh, don't be done with online dating.
Don't be done with online dating. I'll tell you what you should do. You should download Happn. That's what you should do.
Who knew? No, that's just one bad experience. And do you know what? Maybe the lesson, there's lots of lessons, isn't there, and everything, but shouldn't have gone back to his house. Shouldn't have gone, you know.
I think the lesson is some people do lie.
Yes, they definitely
do. Fortunately, that is life, but you can't take that personally. You can't let it put you off all sorts of things. This guy, I think you've had a particular wanker. Firstly, who gets stoned on a day? I mean, to be fair, I mean, it's quite funny the fact that he was absolutely off his tits whilst trying to cook dinner. But for me, there are some things in this that are completely unforgivable. The first one being BO, I've got a real fucking thing
about
things like that. Listen, just fucking wash and just smell good. Especially smell is one of the, we've said it a million times, CC, have we not?
I'm
smell
so
is one of the most
it, like,
important things.
It really is.
Whether it be your breath, whether it be your fucking pits, whether it be your cock or your whatever else, just try and smell fucking good. It's not hard.
Right. I'm gonna break this down even more simply. So I can't even say the word because it's that simple. It don't even try and smell us. Just wash.
Yeah.
Just wash. We were all taught how to wash. Wash.
Wash.
Just wash. And if you're
wash.
Just wash yourself. We're not sponsored by Wash, but just wash. Clean your teeth. Wash.
Wash. Yeah, completely agree with CC. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to wash. But yeah, so that's the first thing for me that is just unforgivable. Secondly is I'm vegetarian. So I ate meat my whole life up until a few years ago. And I'm not one of them people. If other people eat meat, that's absolutely fine. It doesn't bother me in terms of the fact I'm not going to tell people what to do. It's their life and all that sort of shit. But if someone had tried to trick me into eating meat, I'd lose my shit. Because that's someone's beliefs, and for whatever reason, you don't know why someone's chosen not to eat meat or whatever else.
Could be health reasons.
it could be health reasons, could be whatever. You can't fucking just think it's not a thing and then go, fuck it, they won't notice. I'll go and just eat it. No, if someone's made a choice not to eat meat, then you can't fucking, I mean, that makes me quite angry. And also, I think you said that you had a dairy allergy and he cooks the fucking food in butter.
This guy, I mean...
No, he'd obviously not listened to anything, so he could have made you fucking really ill. In fact, I think, yeah, you could have fucking died, I think.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? we said earlier about karma? This guy's karma is going to be beautiful.
This guy is what I would call a 24-carat cock.
Oh, I see what you did there. I would have gone with your first word, though, that first word.
I know you would. I know you, but we are, me and you are like telepathic.
We just
know. Listen, for all our listeners who have spent time with us and you are also in our telepathic gang, you probably knew what I was going to say there, but I didn't. I refrained. So that is story number one, dickhead stoner. Story number two. We're going to hit... Sorry, Cece, you do this.
No, you're on a fucking roll today.
No, I'm talking too much today, Cece. I apologise.
I love it when you talk. I love it.
Oh, I love it when you listen.
That's what communication is. Talking and listening. So we're going to listen to Katie from Lancaster. Katie, tell us your story. We're listening.
I matched with this guy from Tinder. He was about 24 and I was about 18 in my foundation year of uni. And he had a fish in his profile picture, so I knew it was going to go downhill from there. He picked me up from a flat in a fancy car, the doors that went upwards, and he went fast, about 40 miles per hour in a 20 miles per hour zone, and I didn't like it. I felt it was a bit arrogant. And then he just says, so, after arranging this date where we're supposed to go out and eat together, he says, I've just eaten, by the way, but I'll buy whatever you want. So I was like, okay, you've just eaten when we rearranged a date for us to eat together, okay? So anyway, I was just like, I'll go Nando's and all this lot. And we get to Nando's and he's like making fun of the people behind the counter and I didn't like that. He just kept going on about how rich he was. He was like, I'm a demolitions expert, I'm so rich. And I was like, okay, I really don't like this guy. Anyway, we go back to my flat and I put on a Netflix film whilst I'm eating my Nando's. He's lying back, trying to coax me to lie down to, you know, do the dirty. And I was like, no, I don't really want this. And then he just gets up and he says, I'm going to the shop to have a cig, to buy some cigs. Do you want anything? And I said, no, I'm fine, thank you. And he walks out and he doesn't come back. And I'm really glad because it was the worst day of my whole entire life. Never go out with someone who's got a fish in one of the pictures.
Right. So, Katie, firstly, I used to date a girl from Lancaster and I have got a weird thing where I absolutely love that accent. So thank you for blessing my ears with your accent. Right. There are loads of pet hates for me in this one. Absolutely loads. Firstly, money. It doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. Don't talk. Yeah, go on.
Really doesn't matter how much money you've got or how much money you don't have. It's fucking irrelevant. It really fucks me off. You can't buy a personality, unfortunately.
Just don't talk about it on the date.
Yeah.
It is so irrelevant. Don't talk. No one needs to know. I don't need to know how much somebody earns, how flashy or unflashy. Just don't talk about it. It's not an important subject on the first date at all.
So that's my first pet hate. The second one, taking the piss out of the people in the fucking restaurant. Fucks me off. Really fucks me off. I just don't like dickheads like that. I really don't. Sounds like a complete and utter 24-carat cock.
Another cock. They say that though, and it could not be truer. From being a waitress for many, many years and serving people that you would think like, oh, they're a nice couple. And when either one of them is rude to you, it just says so much about that person. Because why do you, whether I'm a threat or I'm not, or I'm below that, whatever the reason is, there is no fucking need. And it says a hell of a lot about their personality trait if they're going to be rude to a stranger. For no reason, need at all.
I agree. Another pet hate of mine, I don't care what fucking car you're driving. It's completely irrelevant. But why drive like a dickhead? Things like that really aggravate me. When you get people with nice cars or fast cars or whatever else and they start revving the engine or they start fucking like as if they're fucking Colin McRae, you are just a complete bell end.
This is, you know, I said about this the Harley guy who wanted me to press his button. This is what I mean. This was what I was getting. It was So for anyone who's just tuned in, I went on an accidental date whilst I was in a relationship with someone who wanted to show off their bike and wanted me to push the on button and then drive off as fast as they could, because in their eyes it was impressive. In my eyes, I wanted to throw up, especially because I didn't think I was on a date with him in the first place.
Yeah, ridiculous. So. And the getting back to the flat and then trying to make you lay down and then leaving, because basically he didn't get what he wanted.
Yeah.
Listen, that's the best thing he did in this entire story was leave. So yeah. That's the only bit that I quite like about it. I'm sorry that happened to you. Sounds like a complete wanker. But onwards and upwards.
This guy really sounds awful. And I wonder if, you know, if you're listening and you're that guy, it's not okay. It really isn't. I was going to say something horrible then, but it's just not okay to be like that.
It
is not okay.
It is not okay. If you take anything from today, take wash. It's not okay.
Fuck me. Honestly, we're going to go and get psychology degrees so that we can validate why our advice about washing and not okaying being okay.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking
out. We both went to private school, if you didn't know, and are both fully went to uni as well, and we're masters of bullshitting.
We both have a master's in
washing. That's one thing I can say. If anyone says, what are you good at? Fucking washing. I know how to wash.
Yeah, I agree with that. Cece always smells like a delightful summer's meadow.
Master's Pete.
Thank you very much. I was hoping you were going to re...
I did about a delightful meadow, but you smell lovely. Good. Like Manny. Not like... I think a delightful meadow is a bit...
floral. Feminine. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, thank you as always to Kirsty and Katie for sending in your stories. Anyone listening, if you want to send in your stories and questions, then you can share yours by emailing thedatingshow@fubarradio.com. That's thedatingshow@fubarradio.com. It's that time where we're kind of done for the day.
We are. It's that time where we really drag it out.
I know.
Oh yeah, and guys, also, I'm sorry that we didn't do our Instagram live that we said we would do last week. Due to technical errors and issues, it didn't happen. However,
I'll tell you why it didn't happen. It didn't happen because we were going to do it when England were playing Scotland. That's why it didn't happen. In all seriousness, and we didn't think any of you were going to fucking be there.
Pete always says it how it is, and that is why I respect you. Pete.
That's basically what it was. We just thought it would be a better time to do it when we're not all watching the football.
Bladdered. Oh, and also, we had also by that point got...
And by that point, Cece was licking the floor. So that was the floor, just in case anyone cut out then. So go on, are we going to do it soon?
We are going to do it, yes, we are. We will do it, and we'll be actually, we'll turn up this time. We won't leave you hanging. We'll give you a couple of days' notice.
But we're also going to do it when we're together.
We're going to do it together, and you will have the chance to ask us any questions you want. We'll give you a little heads up so you can prep your questions, and we'll have a little giggle.
Yes, you can ask us anything. So, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
For listening.
And always, every week, and also thank you to our new sponsor, Happn. We appreciate you. We adore you. We respect you. And thanks for being such a great app, because you're changing my life. My weekend's been fabulous.
She has had a fabulous weekend, Cece. We will talk about that a little bit more after that. You can download Happn on the mobile app store and a number of different places. So I suggest you do so, because if you are looking for love, then you never know. Fate might bring it your way.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Cheryl Hull for coming on as well. You can also follow everything that we do on our Instagram page, which is @thedating_show. And as always, thank you for listening to The Dating Show at FUBAR Radio, sponsored by Happn.
Happn. Pete, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being you.
Thank you for being you.
Thank you for washing.
Thank you for washing. Thank you for being okay.
Thank you for being okay.
Thank you for being better than okay.
Thank you for being Pete Wicks.
Thank you for being Cece Coleman, my favourite person in the whole entire world.
God, there's so much love on this show.
It is, honestly, it's just love. It is. We're not just the Circle of Trust. We are the circle of love. Do you see what I've done there?
I can't even deal with us. I need a breather.
How fucking cute are we?
Oh, fucking hell.
Right, do it again for me.
Okay.
Circle of love.
Oh. And then we're going to end with our...
Namaste.
Namaste.
Oh, in time.
That was really good.
On that note, off we fuck.